The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
Welcome to the Dr. Hockey Podcast.
Have fun with your important conversations and your big issues with your brains and your smart stuff, okay? We got hockey to learn.
Dr. Hockey.
Welcome to the Dr. Hockey Podcast. I'm Dr. Jay Calvert, and this week we are covering the playoffs, which are going right now while we are actually recording this podcast. It is a Tuesday night in the heat of it. And I am here with Dr. Jason Berkley. Jason, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me again.
That's great. Great to have you here. Great to be chatting about the playoffs. And he is here holding his daughter with a hockey-style injury to the chin.
She gets right back on the ice, too.
That's right. She's back in action. We actually just did a little gluing of the chin.
Get her back on the ice.
That's right. She needs to get right back out there, especially while she's got the adrenaline going through the blood. I want to first just say, you know, this is a podcast I want to dedicate to my mother. My mom passed away this morning at 3 a.m. after battling breast cancer for many, many years. And she was at home. She was comfortable. And she just passed away in her sleep. And so this is for my mom, who is an amazing woman and brought us, you know, brought me and my brother up and did everything that she could for us to have the best life that we could. And she was as great a mom as anybody could have.
May her memory be a blessing.
Absolutely. And she'd be very happy to hear that we're doing the podcast as she is looking over us. I know that she'd be very happy that we're working hard.
And what is this beautiful woman's name that raised such an amazing son?
This is my mom. Her name is Maria Zemp. And she was just an angel. She really worked. She worked tirelessly. I mean, she literally worked up until about a year ago, when the cancer just got to be too much. And again, this is why, you know, my son Ace and myself and my whole family were such crusaders against cancer, because, you know, it just, we can try and die from some other stuff. Let's get cancer wiped out. And that's where, you know, this summer at Concern Foundation, everybody can meet us there at the Paramount back lot. Go to concernfoundation.org and you'll really see that funding cancer research has created cures. And, you know, my mom's just another breast cancer victim on the statistics sheet. But, you know, she was my mom, and she's a great woman. And when it's close to home like that, you can't do anything more but want to fight for others who are going to go through the same thing.
Yeah, you know, it's some sad news, and I'm sorry for your loss.
Well, thank you, everyone. It's been a very supportive community here with the Dr. Hockey team. And just to keep in the spirit of the podcast and keep going, I know that she was very happy on the last little roundup my brother and I did. If you listen to it carefully, you can hear my mom cracking up in the background, because she was totally on morphine. And yeah, I think you could hear that when it was
happening. So she's going to live in infamy on the Dr. Hockey podcast. So, that's amazing.
At least she's on the podcast, because I don't know that I have, you know, too many recordings of her other than some home videos and things. But that was a pretty legit recording of my mom.
You know, my grandmother passed away last summer, and, you know, a little piece of comfort that I found were all of her voicemails. She left me, she called me all the time, and I didn't always answer, and I felt guilty about not answering, but man, having those voicemails of hers,
it's great,
are an amazing thing to have.
Well, you know, family is key, and that's sort of a big message, too, and especially in hockey. I mean, we all have, you know, hockey is a very family-based sport. You can't play hockey without the support of your family members. And I was asked on I think it was the ESPN Boise guys up in Idaho that asked me, why isn't everybody crazed over the playoffs like you guys on the Dr. Hockey podcast? And I said, it's because most people don't get to play hockey. They don't get to play as much as they can. You know, some other sports like soccer or basketball, which don't require a lot of equipment. They don't require a lot of time on the ice. And so people don't know hockey, and that's really why you just don't get the sense that everybody in this country is nuts over playoffs, even though it's the people that are nuts over it are completely obsessed. So we're going to move on very quickly, and we are going to have a quick roundup on the West, a quick roundup on the East, and stay tuned, because I got an opportunity to speak to Arash Markazi of ESPN, who is covering the Vegas Golden Knights this year. And we had quite a conversation, which was, you'll hear it at the end of the podcast. But first, let's knock through these playoffs.
How about them Golden Knights?
How about them Golden Knights? Let's tee off with the Golden Knights and the Sharks series, because this is insane.
I didn't think the Sharks were going to win a game based on game one.
I didn't either. They did win one. They stole one.
Well, that's a good way to put it. But I really think that they did play them tight.
Oh yeah, no, they were absolutely on top of it. I think that we're going to see. I don't know. I think the Golden Knights are gonna be able to take this in the end. I think the Sharks have decided to play up to the level of the Golden Knights. I think they got stunned 7-0 in the first game. The Sharks were not ready. They got steamrolled, and now they've come up to the level necessary to stay in the game with the Golden Knights.
And the game wasn't without controversy.
Absolutely not.
It's goals are taken away, and it just, you know, this is playoffs, and it's the play is at a much higher level than before, and the regular season isn't anything compared to the playoffs. But I got to say that, you know, the Sharks definitely impressed me in that game two, containing the Golden Knights. I don't know if it's going to be enough that they can sustain enough for the entire series. I just think that the Golden Knights have too much firepower.
I do too. I think Golden Knights in six. Evander Kane has been the difference. Let's move on. Predators and the Jets. This is the... I'm not sure they're going to be survivors from this series.
Yeah.
It is brutal what's going on the ice there.
Now, I saw a clip, and when I was watching the game, I didn't really appreciate it as much, but in retrospect, watching it about a dozen times, Bufflin manhandling two Predators at the same time like they were rag dolls.
That's
just
him.
Throwing him around the ice and when the refs are trying to break him up. You know, you can't stop him.
He is like the Incredible Hulk out there compared to the other guys. He really is, and I knew he was going to be the difference for this team. If you're on offense, and I don't care which wing you're coming down, whatever, but if that guy's on the other end, you think twice about how you're going to approach that zone.
Right, and that's what even that mental deterrent, rather than forget the physical part of it, of wanting to avoid him is huge.
It's everything.
I was texting the group, and I was just like, man, I'm watching this guy. If I'm on the ice, he's constantly on my mind. Where's Bufflin?
Yeah.
Is he about to hit me? I mean, these guys probably waking up in the middle of their sleep like, ah, Bufflin.
And he is definitely a guy you have nightmares about. So that's Sean Gosser, by the way, our producer. I'm not sure I told everybody who was here. And also with us, of course, Lauren Rentschler, our PR person. There she is. And she is helping us tremendously with our distribution and excitement about this podcast. Because I got to tell you, we have been getting a lot more attention lately with the playoffs, as we knew we would. We knew the playoffs would get people interested. They want to hear the data, and this is the place you come for the data. By the way, you should follow us on our Instagram. We're live right now on the @DrHockeyPodcast Instagram handle. And also, I think we're on Dr. Hockey 90210 on Facebook Live, which is, I don't know if anybody needs to listen live, but if they do, this is the time to do it. You can always download us on iTunes and on the Podcast One app. But we got to keep moving through the West here. So more ways to listen to your hockey information, which is very key. So let's move on.
The East.
You want to go to the East? So
yeah, I got to tell you, the game last night with Tampa Bay and Boston, before the open net goal that kind of cinched it for the Lightning, there was a play behind the Lightning net where Pasternak was basically just mugged and cross-checked from behind. His head snapped back, and he got hit into the boards.
Yes.
Didn't call a penalty. I'm sorry. You got to call that. I know it's towards the end of the game, but that is a dangerous hit. You got to call that. That could have made a difference in the entire game, because then they went on to score their open net goal, which it should have been a power play for Boston.
Well, and that's the thing, is that these missed calls are changing the fate of the playoffs. I mean, you have these missed calls that are, I think to everybody else, they seem so obvious, but maybe they aren't. I mean, in the Sharks-Golden Knights game, you know, there was clearly goalie interference. Logan Couture bumped Fleury out of position while he's in the paint, and the goal gets scored, and they said that's not goalie interference.
And I know the refs hide their whistles, so to speak, in the playoffs, and you want to let them play. I totally agree with that.
But when
that
you have
a blatant, I'm not saying that aside, but I'm saying when you have a blatant cross check to the back, other plays like that are going on. I know you want to let them play, but you also got to be able to keep the game and rein it in a bit. I'm sorry, that's I know it's playoff hockey, but that was a bad missed call.
Yep, that was a bad missed call. And then moving on, there's also the one goal in the Pittsburgh-Washington series.
Yeah.
Where, I have on my phone a text photo from my wife I was at the game in Washington. She was watching in California. I'm sitting in the stands. They're upstairs. She sends me a photo from the television showing white paint between the puck and the red line
right.
with the puck behind
right.
it.
Right.
And they said, no goal. So we're looking at the photo.
What's the point of replay if you can't get it right?
But I'm looking at a photo. And I'm looking at it with, by the way, some really cool fans from Monongahela right outside of south of Pittsburgh who are sitting next to me who were dying to know if I was a Caps fan or a Pittsburgh fan because they were just like, we got to ask you because I was very neutral. I had my Dr. Hockey hat on. And that photo comes over the phone and we're looking at it. And I'm like, that's a goal.
Wait. Back up a minute.
Not a goal.
Back up a minute. You go to a Pens playoff game and you don't have a Pens jersey on?
I had Penn's cufflinks, actually, because I came right from the podium in New York.
Put a jersey over it. I don't understand
put
that.
Put a jersey over it and walk into the Capital One Arena.
Yes.
I'm going to get slashed there. I'm going to walk out with my head hanging off of, half attached to my body.
Well, that's what a true fan does.
No. Some of those guys actually got – it was not good. I would not want to be a Penn's fan in that arena. So for me –
So you're a fancy lad with your cufflinks on. Is that
I
what
did
it was?
They asked me, they said, are you a Pens fan or a Caps fan? And I pulled up my sleeve and showed them the Pens cufflinks, and they went, okay, you can sit here. Because I thought they were going to kill me.
Fancy lad.
They definitely were going to kill me. There was no question.
Well, either way, that series, I got to say, also the Caps surprised me in that last game, though.
Of course.
Coming back. I mean, that's...
They did all right. Look, the Capitals are stacked with talent. How they're not steamrolling every team is beyond
my comprehension. But here's my question. Was it a fluke win, or do they have juice to win and take it to win the series?
Can't win the series. They it's not that they don't have the talent. It's not that they don't have all that they need to win it. Their head is so not in the game.
It's mental.
First of all, and this is nothing against Alex Ovechkin as a player, but he causes problems for the other players when he's on the ice because all they want to do is go to him. And yeah. It's just his presence is it's a mismatch for his team.
Sure.
For some reason, they don't blend. It doesn't gel when he's on the ice. And he's an incredible player, and they should get the puck to him, but they're so focused on it that they can't give and take with each other the way the Penguins do.
Let me ask you this question then, because you got Crosby in Pittsburgh with Malkin. Does it take a player of a Malkin-esque stature to be able to complement a player like Crosby because they work so well together to not just take the focus away from him that you have a second? I mean, isn't Oshie or one of these other guys that on that par that would you'd be able to call as someone that is Malkin-esque?
No. There's nobody on the Caps that measures up like that. Ovechkin is such a dominant player. He's so good. He's so good.
But you got to have somebody as your foil in a sense.
They don't have
a distract. Okay, well
they don't have a Batman and Robin there. I mean that's the thing.
That's your point.
I mean that's the thing is like if you look at most of the teams, there's a Batman and Robin, and sometimes there's a Justice League, which is the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yep.
But these teams that have a 1-2 punch, Kucherov, Stamkos, and also look at like Bergeron, Marchand, Pastrnak. I mean, there's a lot of firepower.
So
in
who
that
are the
Boston
Wonder
team.
Twins now? And is there anyone that's Gleek?
The Wonder Twins.
You that's a Justice League. I want to just make sure,
yeah.
Zan and Jaina, form of a waterfall, shape of.
Well, I don't want to go with all superheroes on this one, but you know what?
Are they really superheroes?
Yeah, no, I really don't. But
when do you have to turn into a waterfall? How does that help anybody?
I'm not sure how a waterfall really helps.
I never understood that when I was watching it as a kid.
That is such an old reference. You have shown your age in a way that right now are going like, wait a second, what are they talking about?
I have a lot more useless information in my noggin. I promise you that.
Listen,
it'll all come out.
Fat Albert Gang is something that shows how old we are. It's like I always say, hey, we're like the Fat Albert Gang when we show up, and people are like, "Who's that?" But you got to be a kid in the 70s to know that one.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I think so. Let's get back to Tampa Bay and Boston. I think this series is going to be it's going to go seven, and
yeah.
I think that they are playing to the hilt. I mean, Boston looks tough.
Well, you bring up also another good point. At the end of, okay, so this series, the Nashville Winnipeg series, okay, those are two of the, I think, the more physical series. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Okay. I mean, the Nashville Winnipeg series is a brawl.
How do either of those teams, whoever wins either of those series, come out and actually have another 7-game series to play
and
remain healthy and have their mind in it? I mean,
and then another 7-game series if they win that one.
Yeah, that's.
That's right. And that this is what the Stanley Cup is about. And this is why Malkin didn't go to Washington the other night. That's why, could he have played? Definitely. Did they just say,
well, they're
you know
a different
what?
Team without him. I mean, there's
that's
no,
right.
It was obvious.
But they wanted to steal. If they could steal two in Washington, they knew they were coming home to Pittsburgh for two. And Washington has a hard time in Pittsburgh.
When you don't have home ice and you split in on the away ice, it's a win. Yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
and they
course.
Won the first one. So why sacrifice Malkin?
Playing with house
Malkin?
Money at that point.
That is exactly right. So they kept Malkin out, let him get stronger, and now they got two in Pittsburgh, and they can go. I think that they'll probably win two in Pittsburgh and go back to Washington for one more.
Well,
and it's not. By the way, I sat there with the Washington fans talking to them about it, and I asked them, "What's wrong with your team? Like yeah. Seriously, like tell me what's wrong. You sat here, season tickets. What's wrong with this team?" And they said it's a chemistry issue. That is the overwhelming. Feeling is that it's chemistry. There's something missing that they just don't. They don't have it.
Well, but listen. But in all fairness, they haven't beat Pittsburgh since 1994 when they had Jagr and Lemieux, which I'm even surprised that happened. This is well before Ovechkin. And any, I mean, come on. It's been almost 2.5 decades.
They've lost one. They've lost nine
they
out of the last 10.
They can't get past Pittsburgh.
They've won one time, but it was a long time ago.
They have.
There's something about that cat. I mean, it's like, you know, you look at George McPhee, who's there for 16 years. He got all these great people. Now he's in Vegas and
right.
He like, you know, gets an expansion team and like strikes gold. Like what's there? There's something, you know, by the way, the number of empty seats in that Capital One Arena, the number of empty seats made my eyeballs blow out of the front of my head.
I don't understand that. It's playoff.
How is that possible?
I don't get that one.
In a playoff situation that you don't have a full arena. What's that?
I don't know.
I mean, there was a percentage of seats that were empty. Tell me.
Years of disappointment.
they're over it.
No,
they
honestly,
need to move.
Though, honestly, though, chemistry. It's strange for it to be a chemistry. This was a team that was in first place for most of the season.
For like the last 5 years.
Right.
Presidents, trophies, and all that stuff. But why is that good? What is... Jason Barkley showing me the score of the game, and what's good about that?
He's one potential game closer to you wearing my jersey. That's why. Sorry to keep bringing it up. I wasn't going to do it this week, yeah, but yeah,
that's not happening.
Well,
don't even worry about it.
Okay, we won't comment. But
all right, you can comment all you want.
But the reality is that I think that you do have a team that, and I hate to use the word jinx because I don't like that, but I think it's true. I think there's something. That it's rubbed off on the fans by empty seats, like you said. How do you do that in playoff hockey? You got to be there for the team.
Yeah, it was probably like a 4 to 5% empty seats.
Because it then
arena.
Reflects on the team. Because whether the fans know it or not, that team's sitting there saying, "We're our fans. We need our support."
That's right. It does. You know, it rubs off on the players.
It's terrible, and it's all just reflect. So then where do you go from there then?
It's a tough call, and it may
you
just
blow
be
the team up and then get another team. You mean but to trade Ovechkin.
Well, it may be the nature of Washington D.C. It's not a state. It's not a it's like some District of Columbia spot where it's very political and nobody feels like an attachment to the District of Columbia, quote unquote, and they don't feel attachments to the teams like the Redskins and the Nationals and maybe the Capitals fall right into that also. Who knows? Either way, I'm loving the playoffs. It's totally fun. I love all the action that's happening. I'm sorry the Red Wings aren't there.
No, listen, I feel for you, man. I'm over that. I'm accepting. I'm part of the denial process. And I'm now in acceptance where I've just kind of, I'm as pure as a driven snow. I nothing we can do about it right now.
It's over.
But we got to talk about something really quick. We had the draft lottery that happened this past Sunday.
That's right.
And what was that? Sabres won the first overall pick.
Right.
I don't know how
Sabres
the Canes came up and came up and stole, but they've just cleaned house with their personnel as well, Carolina. But the Wings dropped a spot, and of course I knew we would somehow get screwed in this whole thing. We can't win for losing with this.
No, it's true.
But there are some great defensemen that are available that we could we have to go for defense. But Dolan's going to be on Buffalo, and you know, like Eichel, he might just end up floundering there and eventually get traded.
It's very possible.
What's going to happen to Kane?
I think there will be big things that happen in the offseason for sure, especially for the Red Wings, definitely the Buffalo Sabres. I think the Carolina Hurricanes are ready to make some moves.
Well, didn't they fire their GM? I mean, didn't they fire somebody?
He resigned.
He resigned, okay.
He resigned, and he took a job with, I forget where he went, but he took
it. But they've made some other personnel changes there, so maybe they're, you're right, with the first pick, or with one of the top three picks, they're going to make a run. I don't know. Who knows? But
Buffalo's that team we've been talking about that hasn't even been sniffing the cup since 99 or something, right?
Since Hasek, yeah. Well, so upcoming week, we were going to finish off this round of playoffs. We'll be back next week with I have one of our listeners and one of our Dr. Hockey interactors from our Instagram account who's coming on to talk about all the award trophies and who's going to get them. She was really upset about what went on with some of the awards. So we'll have her on next week. And she's one of our listeners and she's also a journalist, but so she's got a lot to say. I actually had a little chat with her. So she'll be Skyping in, but at the tail end of this podcast, tune in and listen to Arash Markazi for what's going on with the Vegas Golden Knights. And again, just to let you know, we definitely have our Instagram account is growing like crazy. We do post our videos live.
Want to say real quick, my 5-year-old daughter Eliana is here, and she unfortunately bumped her chin, but she's doing okay. She got back out on the ice. Ellie, you want to say hi to everybody?
Hi.
And Ellie, who's your favorite team in hockey that you watch with Daddy all the time?
The Red Wings.
All right, that's my girl.
I just want to take a minute to discuss a little bit about our sponsor's product, Never Too Hungover. Now, did you ever try this?
I did. I told you I tried it.
Oh, yeah that's right. You did try it. I've never tried it to prevent a hangover, but I've tried it as a, you know, pre-heavy-duty industry dinner with, you know, the wine and the 42-ounce porterhouse steak kind of deal. And I got to say, I think there's something to it because it definitely felt... you know, I didn't feel that sort of, you know, that drag of
sure.
you know, the next day from the wine, which, you know, I think if you're replenishing, one of the things I do, by the way, if I am having any kind of wine or something with dinner, is I will have lots of water because I think you got to flush it. I think the alcohol is dehydrating.
But you need this to complement the water.
You complement the water with the Never Too Hungover and the electrolytes that it brings because they've got all kinds of, you know, good stuff in the concoction that is this recovery drink.
See, I don't drink. I'll order a Shirley Temple. But besides that, I think it's just great for even people who don't drink.
Have you tried Never Too Hungover with a Shirley Temple?
I'm not that crazy.
All right. Well, yeah. I just don't want you to be. I mean, because, you know, sometimes if you get too many of those in
that and the maraschino cherry, it's just too much.
You don't know what's going to happen.
It overwhelms my system.
So, you know, maybe that's where you need to go is Never Too Hungover for these super sugared drinks. Because I'll tell you what, a Shirley Temple is a bomb of sugar.
It my is. Kids and I don't eat sugar.
Love those.
I don't eat sugar, but I'll get that on a special occasion.
There you go. Yeah. Well, that's good. Well, the way that they've put this drink together is with key ingredients such as potassium, B vitamins, milk thistle, green tea extract, aloe vera, and amino acids, which are all kind of good things to be be having anytime. Which again, I think, you know, recovery drink, whatever. I think it's a good thing to kind of do for if you're running a marathon or going for a hard workout, whatever. Plus, it's sugar free, gluten free, low calorie, and I do like the taste. They have a few different flavors. Never Too Hungover is available at many fine retailers across the U.S., including GNC, Vitamin Shoppe, as well as BevMo in California, Specs in Texas, Binny's in Chicago, all the hottest casino resorts in Vegas, and of course on Amazon.com and NeverTooHungover.com, where you can go there and use the promo code HOCKEY. By the way, that's spelled H-O-C-K-E-Y.
Really?
I just wanted you to know that. Just for you, though, just in case you were going to use the promo code.
Oh, okay.
There is an E.
Thank you.
It's not H-O-C-K-E-E or C-H-O-C-K-E-E-Y, H-O-C-K-E-Y, to get 25% off your first order of NeverTooHungover.com. And now to our interview with Arash Markazi of ESPN.
What action in overtime here? comes Wild Bill. Shoots. Scores. Carlson wins it. Vegas does it again.
All right. Well, we are happy to be joined by Arash Markazi of ESPN. Arash, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
We're really happy to have you here. We, you know, we have our Dr. Hockey podcast, and we love talking about hockey and the playoffs. But one of the things that comes up for us over and over again is the success of the Vegas Golden Knights. It is really incredible what's going on there. And we're interested to hear from your perspective. What do you think is, what's the magic there? Tell us about it.
You know, it's unique because I think all these guys came together super quickly and you know, they all had something in common. I mean, they all were basically left unprotected by their teams, and they've all, not all, but the majority of them, which is really incredible, have had career seasons. And I don't think that's a coincidence. I think when you have a chip on your shoulder and you go into a locker room where you all have something to prove, an amazing thing can happen. So, you know, it could have gone one of two ways. They could have felt bad for themselves or just kind of continued, you know, with their careers the way that they had been going. But they all came together, and they really, the majority of these guys, the core group, have had career years. So it's an amazing story, because when you look at the expansion draft, everyone's talking about how they were helped by this draft. Nobody post that draft, and I covered that draft, thought that this was going to be a good team. I mean, they hit on every single one of those picks. It's been an incredible thing.
Yeah, they did. I mean, the picks that they got, it is interesting because, you know, when you look at it, yeah, there's nobody on there that's like, oh, my God, I can't believe they got this guy, other than Marc-Andre Fleury and James Neal.
Yeah.
I mean, James Neal is he's a Stanley Cup winner along with Marc-Andre Fleury with the Penguins in 2008-09. So, you know, we can sort of say, well, they have guys who've been there, but the rest of the guys were all second and third and some fourth liners for their teams.
Exactly. I mean, really, so those were the two guys going into it that you were like, okay, like, we know who those guys are. They were just in the Stanley Cup final. Other than that, it's been amazing to see, and the incredible thing is that in a lot of cases, they were teams traded players and picks to have them select the guys that they got. So William Karlsson, who had an incredible season for them, you go back to it, Columbus Blue Jackets trade a first and a second round pick just so Vegas can select him. And you kind of go down, and I'll just give a few examples. Minnesota trades, a Malik Tuck so they can select Harakala. So it's like, you know, so like they're getting these first and second round picks and these great players so they can get these amazing talented guys. And so then again, when you go down that expansion draft, it's incredible to look at it now. They hit on every single one, maybe a couple of guys not so much, but it's so unique though. So I mean, again, when you have an expansion team, you're gonna have to have some kind of an expansion draft. You're gonna have to help them somewhat. It's up to George McPhee. George McPhee hit on every single one.
The guy is a genius. That's all there is to it. I mean, he is a genius. Not only did he stack the team, but he set them up for future success with loads of first-round picks. I mean, it's crazy what he has in the back pocket.
Yeah, well, listen, when you look at the picks that he has, like, you go back to the Tatar trade, they're like, oh, but yeah, I agree. I don't think Tatar was worth a first, second, and third. But they have so many draft picks. I mean, he's not going to use all these draft picks. At some point, he has to trade them to get some actual players in return. So, yeah, like, listen, what McPhee has set this team up with for long-term success in terms of where the cap's at, where they are with the picks and with the players, it's incredible.
Yeah, I've got to give McPhee huge credit. I mean, he just, you know, and this is a guy who for 16 years is with the Washington Capitals. He brings incredible talent to the Capitals and basically gets fired because he can't seem to get a team together that wins a cup. So, you know, he could be closer to a cup this year than he has been in a long time with the Capitals.
Which is really crazy to think about that. And I'll tell you, I was in Vegas during the trade deadline, and everyone was super nervous because at the trade deadline they had – one of, if not the best record in the league. And McPhee is, you know, listen, he's not making huge moves, but he's making moves. And everyone's like, don't touch this team. They're fantastic. And so he's thinking long term. And so it's a weird thing where you begin a process thinking, I think Bill Foley's plan was playoffs in three, cup in six, which was, by the way, crazy at that time.
Yes.
So he's now thinking, okay, we have the best record of the league. I'm not going to sell, but I do want to make some moves here. Like, I can't just, like, not do a thing. So he's had to adjust his plan, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think Foley and, you know, the Maloofs are definitely along for the ride. They love it. They don't know hockey like I think the other guys do. They're learning very, very quickly. But this is unprecedented to have an expansion team. And by the way, like the town
yeah.
Las Vegas has embraced this team in a way that it's moving. It's awesome.
You know, so I was there for that first game of the first home game of the season, which was, you know, about a week after what happened on October 1st. And at that point, you just want the team to win a game so the town feels good. And they did an amazing job that first night. And they had this amazing start to the season. You're thinking, well, that's a good thing. You know, like, we didn't see it coming, but, you know, good for them to kind of put this, you know, I think they were 9-1 or 9-2 or something like that. It's like, that's nice. What happened was the community didn't just get behind the team for the beginning of the season. I mean, 1,000 people for that last practice I was at before they went to San Jose. 1,000 people just to send them off on the road trip. And so their practice facility is in Summerlin. You know, so listen, this is a local team. And so when you think about Las Vegas, you think of the Strip, you think of the hotels, you think of all that. The locals got behind this team. So if you live in Henderson, if you live in Summerlin, if you live like off the Strip, obviously, I mean, they really got behind this team. And I think that they would have if they were a good team, but they were there from the beginning because once the shootings happened, those players and those coaches and the front office, they were all there within the community. They were doing community things every week with them, and it was a tremendous thing to watch.
Oh, and it still is. I mean, I think, you know, the energy that is in that T-Mobile arena is
oh, yeah.
It's so cool. I mean, I was there for that first home game also, and I was blown out of the water. It was awesome and so fun, and I feel like they've made such headway for professional sports in Las Vegas, but they've made such headway for hockey in the U.S. and for more expansion teams. This has gone extremely well for the NHL.
Yeah, and so I think anyone who questioned whether professional sports in Las Vegas could work, certainly a professional football. I mean, football I actually thought was fine because you would have tourists. I mean, you're talking about 10 Sundays of the year. That shouldn't be a problem. The amazing thing in covering Vegas this season is that a Tuesday or Wednesday night game, those games are sold out. Now, what has happened during the playoffs has been really unique to watch. So during the course of the season, it has been, I don't want to say 50-50, but depending on who they're playing, there's a lot of opposing fans. So, you know, if they play Pittsburgh or if they play you know, a marquee team, you know, it's a 50-50 crowd. Every playoff game I've been to has been over 90% locals. You know, you walk around that plaza wow. there, it is all Vegas Golden Knights fans. And what they did was they incentivized the fans. They said, listen, we can't stop you from selling the tickets, but if you promise not to sell them, we will give you a good deal. It'll be cheaper. So, and I do think the way that they explained it to the fans and the way they explained it to me is like, listen, during the course of the season, we don't mind people coming to Las Vegas and them having a good time, you know. So if you're a fan of Los Angeles or San Jose or whatnot, during the course of the season, that's okay. Come playoff time, we want this to be a tough place to play. And if you're a season ticket holder, you should too. And so they really kind of said, hey, if you want to sell your Tuesday night ticket in November, that's fine. Come playoff time, let's make this a tough place to play, and it really has been.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is, even in the other cities, I mean, you just don't want to have a ton of people showing up from the other team. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I actually went the other night to the Washington Capitals and the Pittsburgh game in D.C. And there were a lot of Penguins fans there.
Yeah.
It like, you know, there were Let's Go Pens chants going on in the middle of the Capital One Arena that really were very unwelcomed. And that's the thing. You get a core group of the opposite team's fans there, and it's not fun to hear that coming out of your own arena.
And by the way, so that was the thing I was most amazed about, because I said, you know, the first round series against Los Angeles, first of all, Los Angeles is such a short drive. And second of all, Las Vegas was the Los Angeles Kings market for years and years and years. So I really thought come playoff time, this is going to be a 50-50 crowd. I mean, I am not joking when I tell you, when I walked around Toshiba Plaza pregame, it was maybe a handful of Kings fans. And so they really made it a point, we're not going to sell these tickets. And again, who knows? I mean, if they go to the Cup final and they're going up against Pittsburgh and people in Pittsburgh want to pay an exorbitant amount, perhaps. But I just don't get the sense that these fans, they want to go for this crazy ride that they're currently on. That may change in time. I mean, who knows how good the market will be? But right now, it is the hottest ticket.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if it is Murray versus Fleury in the Stanley Cup final,
right.
I mean, it is going to be nuts. That will be amazing. And there, nobody's going to lose in that series for sure, but somebody will go home a loser. But that would be an amazing thing for the NHL, for fans, for hockey, and what a Cinderella story of this team. It's interesting, though. I got to say, you know, the way that the Vegas Golden Knights did perform this draft, it's not too shocking to me that they did have success. The amount of success they've had is shocking. But if you look at the guys that they got, they didn't get guys that were, you know, trying to make the team that they were on. They weren't like coming up and back from the AHL. You know, they got guys that were bona fide NHL players who played on the second, third, or fourth lines of the teams. And they amalgamated a bunch of those guys, not the worst guys on the team, not the best guys, but guys that make a difference for sure. And then you got four full lines of those guys. So when you started to look at why they're successful, it isn't that shocking that if you took the Kings second line or the Rangers second line or the Tampa Bay Lightning second line and you multiplied it by four and put it out against any other team, it could be a problem.
So it'll be interesting what happens when Seattle, and I'm assuming Seattle will, you know, because normally when you have one expansion team, you're going to have two. So this was a unique situation where they were the only show in town, right? They were the only expansion team with the expansion draft. And I'd be curious also if the league tweaks the rules. That being said, the players that they got were good, not great, like you said. What happened was they just all came in, they bought into the system and they played like one. And I mean, who knows how much the October 1st events played, but it's not so much. I mean, because when you look historically, you know, these weren't guys who had these great seasons before.
No,
like,
that's,
you know,
true.
Like, you know, Carlson, Harshis, so these are guys are having career years. So, and I think while you're watching them this season, you even have to wonder, like, is this sustainable? I mean, is this how he's going to play from now on, or is this just a career year? So, which is something that they're going to have to think about as they sign these guys up long term. But again, the best case scenario was I thought they would be in the playoff hunt. I never thought they'd be in the playoffs. And I think post expansion draft, the majority of people thought this would be the worst team in hockey. So what they've
Definitely.
Done is incredible. Now, in hindsight, in a perfect world, if you hit on every pick, if you hit on every trade, and every one of those guys who come in totally wants to be there, and that's the interesting thing. A lot of people were wondering, who wants to play in Las Vegas? What has happened with this season, it's become a free agent destination as well. Summerlin is a half hour away from the Strip. You could buy a beautiful home there cheap. No state income tax. If you want a great meal and if you want to go to a show, you're a short drive away from the Strip. I mean, it's become one of those places that because of the season that they've had, forget about the expansion draft. That's done. They are a destination franchise now, too.
They definitely are, and it is. It's just going to be really fun through the playoffs. I hope they go deep. Who do you predict will win the Stanley Cup?
Oh, I like Nashville this entire season, so I'm still hoping that I get to go there, by the way. So I'm going to be covering Las Vegas the entire way. If it's Vegas and Nashville, that James Neal story will be very interesting to me. That being said, I have a hard time going against Las Vegas. So, like, Nashville was my pick from the beginning of the season, and so I'm going to stick with that pick for right now, but you know, they just got this special something with this team. And if you go to the game last night, you know, that save by Fleury and you got the game winner from Carlson, it's like there might be something with this team. So, again,
oh yeah,
you know,
there is.
My heart say in Vegas. But Nashville, if I had to say, would be the team, you know. But what an incredible story. What an incredible story to spin.
Well, it's really fun for us. I mean, we love, you know, the Dr. Hockey podcast really spends a lot of time on looking at, you know, data and how the injuries are affecting the team. You know, we are both, Jason's not on the interview with us, but Dr. Berkeley and I are both physicians. We look at the injuries very differently. He actually treats a lot of back injuries and sports injuries for in pain management, and I take care of a lot of facial injuries, especially fractured noses, broken cheekbones, things like that. And, you know, we see these injuries can come out of nowhere and totally sway mm-hmm. the playoffs. I mean, look at the Ducks went into that. I thought the Ducks would take care of the Sharks in no time. And then Cam Fowler goes out with a wrist injury, and that's that.
Yep.
You know, once you lose Cam Fowler, like, you've lost the base for the defense for that team. So these guys have to stay healthy. If they can stay healthy and get through it, I think the Golden Knights are going to go deep. Will they get to the finals for the Stanley Cup or win it? That remains to be seen and would be the story, I think, of the century so far in sports.
It has to be a movie if they find a way to win. And I even think if they don't find a way to win, it'd be a fun story. Just everything that they've gone through, all the characters on that team, they're such a great group to cover. But you're 100% right. When you have this special something in the locker room, and it's hard to develop and it's hard to keep, when you have it, you have to find a way to win because you think you're going to get back. And as you know, Doctor, it's hard to get back. Look at the Dodgers this year, to flip sports. You just don't know what's going to happen. You just don't know. And so when you have that team and you have that special something and you're kind of on the run that they're on, you got to find a way.
You know, and that's what the Stanley Cup is all about. I mean, the teams that win the Stanley Cup are, you know, we've had a few guys on who've won the Cup, and Oleg Tverdovsky was here, and he said, you know, the thing that happened when I went to the New Jersey Devils, and this is, you know, Oleg speaking, he said, I walked into the locker room, and I just knew we were going to win. It just was so clear, and he goes, I never felt that anywhere else, but I walked in that, and, you know, there was Danico and Brodeur. And we just knew we're winning this thing. And he said it was so palpable that you play different. And that's what has to happen. The team that takes the cup, I think, has to have that whole gestalt that, like, this is when it's happening. We're doing it now.
Yeah.
And nothing will stop us. So I can't wait to watch that. I love the playoffs. It is so fun.
It's the best. And I'm really happy for Las Vegas because they've never had a pro sports team. And they've been a couple of these playoffs. And these overtime games, and that's when you really, like, that's when your heart's, like, in your throat in the playoffs. And so for them to kind of experience this, it's like, welcome to having a professional sports team, because there's nothing quite like this.
I mean, what a great assignment for you to be able to cover this team.
It's so great. It's history. Well, you know what, maybe because I'm so close to Los Angeles, and I do love Las Vegas. I mean, there's all these people who go, oh my god, Las Vegas. I mean, if I'm there for more than 2 days, I love that city. I really, truly do. And it's been fun to kind of cover them this entire way, from the moment where they got the team, the expansion draft, the first game, the playoff run. So, again, I mean, you know, who knows how far that they'll go, but what an amazing story it's been. And these guys are such a good group of guys. And so, I mean, I think that's what you want to have when you have a playoff team like this, a group of guys that totally believe in themselves. They know they can do it. Again, who knows if they can, but again, it's been a fun road so far.
Have you ever met with Joe Maloof and Gavin and George and Foley and talk to them about what it's like? What do they say?
So I knew that Maloof's – yes. So, I mean, Foley's living on a dreamland now because, I mean, he was hoping that the, you know, the team would be competitive and would do well. But, you know, this is beyond his wildest dreams. So he's having he's using obviously some of this to push his other things. So, you know, up in San Jose, he has a winery. So he's like, you know, between games, what was it, 3 and 4, come up and have a glass of red or something. And I'm like, I can't do that. But it was an amazing. I mean, he's a guy who's never had it. He's never like going to team before, and he was an amazing owner at the beginning because he didn't know what he could and couldn't say. So I remember, like, at the beginning of him of having the team, you know, he'd tell me things that I know he probably shouldn't have said. But that's what's so fun about this. I mean, it's the first time for everyone, you know, it's his first time. So yeah, it's been so cool.
Well, it's awesome. We love watching the Golden Knights, and you know, I've been just fired up for it. We had Joe Maloof on I think it was about the fourth or fifth podcast, and it was just great to hear the story from him. And you know, it was when Kevin Connolly was the co-host with me for the first half of this season, but then he had to go to Spain to produce a bunch of TV shows, and he's still there. But Kevin and Joe and I had just Joe literally was like a kid in a candy store. He's like, I can't even believe our success. It was crazy, and I'd just love to get it back in to hear him now. I bet he's like, you know, needs CPR every night with this stuff. It's unbelievable. Well,
oh, yeah. And it was their vision, the Maloof's vision of having this. So I mean, Bill Foley is always super quick to give them the credit, and they don't want to be in the limelight now, but again, I'm really happy for them too.
Yeah, they're such low key guys, and it's very cool. I know they're very pumped up about it. I'm sure they got to be, you know, high fiving themselves all the way to the bank on this one too. It's going to be a great investment.
Oh, totally.
Well, listen, Arash, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk about your coverage of the Golden Knights, and you know, it'll keep going, and maybe if things get deeper, maybe we'll get you back on to hear more. But this has been really awesome.
I would love that. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right, Arash Markazi from ESPN. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Hockey. Check out new episodes every Thursday. And subscribe on Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.
Welcome to the Doctor.
Say it again. Welcome to the Dr. Hockey Podcast.
Do it like this. Do it like with
Welcome to the Dr. Hockey Podcast. Welcome to the Dr. Hockey Podcast.
That'll be pretty funny.
Give us a big ol' welcome.
There you go.
Try this one.
Do it. Come on.
The Red Wings are not in the playoffs. Try that one. Can you say that?
Say, welcome to the Dr. Hockey Podcast. Just do it. I promise.
Say, Pittsburgh is in the playoffs.
Welcome to the Dr. Hockey Podcast.
Awesome. That was awesome. Perfect.
Good job.
That's great. Say, go Red Wings.
Go Red Wings.
Go where? Because I don't think they're in the playoffs right now. Are they? Wait, no, they're not.
Good job, kiddo.
Tell me. Do you love hockey?
Yes.
How much do you love hockey?
So much.
So much? Who is your favorite team?
The Red Wings.
The Red Wings? All right. Awesome. And you do you always watch hockey? Who do you watch hockey with?
Daddy.
Oh, you watch hockey with Dad. And does he teach you a lot about the game?
Yes.
What does he teach you about? What happens in hockey? What do they score? What are they, they use the pucks and the sticks, and when they score, it's called a what?
Goal.
A goal, that's right. Very good.
Pretty good. Pretty like good. It. This is a hockey fan in the making here.
That's right.
How do you see my safe phone? I'm there.
Wave to the camera. Say what's up, folks.
What's up, folks?
That's pretty good.
Say,
who do you have there?
To the Dr. Hockey Podcast.
Welcome to the Dr. Hockey Podcast.
who's that? Who's she holding? There's another one back there. You want a duckbill mask? It might be better. No, I don't care. I'm not going to kiss you.
Is your daddy sick right now?
Yes.
Just a little cold. Is he going to be better, though?
Yes.
Okay, that's good.
All right.
All right, say, let's hit it.
Let's hit it.
Sweet.
Hey now, Bill Walton here. And for your dreams to come true, you have to do everything possible to immerse yourself totally in Legends of Sport, Podcast 1. Wow. You have been suitably warned. Miss this at your own peril. Be in town early.